Thank you, Brother Byron. Good evening. Good to see each of you out this evening. I trust our hearts have already been encouraged, been singing together and talking to the Lord. Brother Byron said we unfortunately finish up tonight. God willing, we leave tomorrow, fly back home. And as I mentioned to you on Sunday, we have certainly appreciated all your love. You make us feel like we're home. This is a home away from home. And over the years, we've learned to love you and appreciate you and thank you for loving us and sharing with us your fellowship and in your homes and in every way. You just make us feel like part of your family. And that's what the family of God is all about. That's what it's all about. Sharing our love. Letting Christ's love be seen through us. So we thank you. And we ask that you continue to pray for us as we move. That God will be with us, direct our paths. And that we may continue to do what God would have us do. To work for Him. Here the door of mercy closes. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want to speak to you from the Old Testament in the book of Joshua, the 6th chapter, Joshua chapter 6. Just before we do, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, again, we count it a privilege to be here amongst God's people, a privilege to open your word and allow you to speak to our hearts from it. Father, we thank you for this time that we've spent here among these dear people. And we pray that you use the word that has gone forth to challenge lives. And Lord, speak to the hearts of some unsaved soul. And we know that the seed has been sown and that one day heaven will reveal to the extent and to whom it has reached. And Father, tonight we pray again that as we open your word, that you might once more speak to us and through us. May our hearts be challenged afresh as your people, and we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 6. I want to read the first 5 verses. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. And you shall go around, King James Version says, compass, go around the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Pure the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. I want us to consider for a while tonight on removing the walls. Removing of the walls. Perhaps as we sit here tonight, there are walls in our lives. Walls in our lives that are hindering our service for the Lord. Walls in our lives that are causing the lights of our lives for Jesus Christ to shine very dimly. Walls in our lives that are creating problems in so many ways. Walls in our lives that are turning us away from the things of God. Many, many walls are there. Can they come down? Yes. And tonight we want to look by the grace of God at how they can and they will come down. When we look in this passage of Scripture, particularly as we turn back in the first chapter of Joshua, we read there how Moses has now died. And God has given the great responsibility of leading the children of Israel to the promised land to none other than to this great man, Joshua. And as we read this passage of Scripture, immediately we see that Joshua is faced with an awesome task. He is to cross the River Jordan and to conquer the city of Jericho. Jericho is a great walled city, completely walled all around. But there's one thing that we must note. And as I was going through this again today, and I looked at it, my heart rejoiced. God said to Joshua in the very first chapter and in the second verse, "Arise and go over. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage." These are God's words to Joshua as he bids him now to cross over, to move on with the children of Israel. Beloved, those are the same words that God has given to you and I tonight. Arise and go. God will not fail you. God will not forsake you. No matter what the wall of our lives may be tonight, God is still there. And God can remove those walls. God wants to remove those walls. It is up to you and I to allow him to do so in our lives. And we look here at Joshua. God has encouraged him. God says, "Obey my word," in verse 9 of chapter 1. Notice he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." In other words, our God is always there. Our God is always there, no matter what situation in our life may exist. No matter how great, no matter how small, God is concerned about every little thing or every big thing in your life and mine because he loves us. He loves us and he's concerned about it. All he asks is that we obey his word. Obey my word. Is that difficult? It shouldn't be. But oh, how it is so often in our lives. How it is so often in our lives. It is so simple for us to obey so many things about us. The manuals of life are easy to follow and obey. But when we come to the manual of God's Word, we find it so difficult as His children to be obedient to the Word of God. So many times in our lives and so many ways in our lives, we fall far short of what God would have us be. And that's where the walls begin to build in our lives. By being disobedient so often to the things of God. It's not difficult to obey God. If we love Him, we should obey Him. Yes, we will have tests and we will have trials and we're going to look at that in a little while. Satan will seek to destroy us. But we're always reminded of this fact, and I trust that we remind our hearts. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Beloved, if we repeat those words over in our hearts each day, we'll have less of the Satan around us than we have now. Greater is he that is in me. Who is he? The Spirit of the living God. Greater is he. He can do all things. He can help me. He can direct my paths. He leads me along the paths of righteousness for his namesake. All I have to do is learn to believe in him. Notice as we read this, how the miracles begin to happen immediately. as Joshua and the children of Israel move toward the River Jordan. When you turn to chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground." God had already begun to work. Joshua believed, and Joshua obeyed, and the rivers of Jordan, the waters of the rivers of Jordan, parted. Dry ground. God's people were able to cross over, just as they did earlier in the Red Sea. As the Red Sea opened, what happened? God's promise came to pass. God said, "Joshua, I will be with you." He is with him. He's with you. He's with me. He never fails. He's always there. When things go wrong in our lives, it's not because of God. It's because you and I, we lose our faith in God. We lose our faith in God. We lose sight of who He is. We lose sight of what He can do in our lives. And we begin to falter. We got to trust and obey. We got to believe. Joshua believed. The river opened. They crossed over on the other side. And God was saying to the children of Israel, "I am with you. I am with you. I am with Joshua." But would it always be that way? Is life always that easy? And the answer is no. Life is not easy. God never promises an easy life or an easy road when we accept Him as our Savior to follow Him. But what He has promised us and what He will always be is with us always. He said, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." We know that. But isn't it so easy when the things begin to happen in our lives? And we begin to complain to God, and we begin to say, "Why, God? Why this? Why that? Why the other?" When things begin to get difficult, and the first thing that we begin to do is we give up on God. We know what He says. We know what He can do. Perhaps we've experienced it many times in our lives. But we forget, and we give up. We forget who He is and what He can do in our lives. You see, God tests our faith many times, brothers and sisters. And I know that if you're a Christian here tonight, you've been tested. God allows these tests and trials to come in our lives. As I was talking to someone today, they come not to make us bitter, but they come to make us better. That's what it's all about. God allows them to come into our hearts and our lives so oftentimes. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, James writes, "My brethren, count it all joy." I read that verse of Scripture many times, and for every time I read it, the thought comes to me, how can I count it joy? When the tests of life come, when the problems of life come, when the sicknesses and the death and the pain and the heartaches come into my life, how can I count it joy? That's what the Bible says. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, temptations of life, things that come into our lives. Why does He want it, you and I, to count it as joy? Because the world is looking at us. The world is looking at our lives. The world is watching to see we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we believe that He can do anything, and we believe that in those times of need He supplies, and He suffices, and He gives us the strength, and He takes us through. And that's what they're looking at. And the moment we deviate from that, the moment we begin to complain and find fault, then the world is saying, "Well, where's your God? Where's your God? Where's the joy? Where's the strength that you talk about?" It's right there all the time. It's right there all the time. It's just that you and I don't exercise our faith in our God. We don't exercise and obey the words of our God. When we exercise our faith in God, as we go through these trials, we come out on the other side. One thing we must always remember, and we see these words in the Scripture over and over, "And it came to pass." Sooner or later, those trials, those tests, or whatever it may be in our lives will come to pass. And you know who should get the glory when it comes to pass? Not man, God. That's what it's all about. for God to receive the glory. As men and women look at my life and your life and they see how that we've gone through these tests and how we've gone through these trials and how through it all we've been able to talk about God and we've been able to talk about His love and we've experienced that strength and that joy in our hearts and lives that the world cannot give, that the world cannot take away. And then they can know that there is real joy in serving the Lord. Real joy in serving the Lord, in knowing the Lord. Because He's there, and He's there all the time. Joshua's faith is now tested. There was Jericho straight ahead. But what did God say to Joshua? I have given it to you. God had already told him, Joshua, it's there for the taking. It's yours. Beloved, tonight, our hearts should rejoice in the fact that God has said the same thing to you and I as we walk the road of life. I have given it to you. It's there for the asking. You know what the Bible says? We have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. When the problems of life arise, we deviate from the road that we're walking as believers. And we begin to look for a quick fix or an easy way out. And we forget about the most important one of all, and that is our Father, which is in heaven. The God that loves us. The God who said, I will be with you always. The God that said, I will supply your every need. No matter what. Arise and go. I will be there. I will be there. And beloved, there is no doubt in my mind, and I trust in yours, that He is always there. He said, Joshua, go. I will give it to you. In Romans chapter 8, there's a couple of verses I want to share with you in reference to that. Verse 28, for God's people. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now maybe we might say, boy, there's some things happening in my life that really ain't working together for good. Beloved, it's working together for good. You read the scriptures over and over again. We read the life of these great patriarchs of God down through the ages and the many things that happened to their lives. But the ultimate end was for the glory of God. It worked out for good because they were willing to follow the instructions of God. They were willing to trust God and obey. The three young men were thrown into the fiery furnace. And what happened? God was there. The king said, I threw three men in, but lo, I see four men walking. God was with them, and He's with you and I. Oh, beloved, so many times in our lives, I feel that we today so often forget the promises of God. Our God has never changed. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that could walk through the fiery furnace is the God that can walk with me through the death of a loved one, or through a sickness, or through a heartache, or through the loss of a job, through a problem child, or whatever it may be in life. God is still there. Don't let's give up. Don't ever give up on God. Because He is there all the time. In the 31st verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that comforting tonight? If God be for us, who can be against us? Ah, sometimes it looks dismal. Sometimes it looks very bad. But again, greater is He that is in you and I than he that is in the world. Beloved, our God is in charge of every situation. God never slumbers nor sleeps. He's wide awake all the time. God never goes on a 2-week vacation. He's always there. His eyes are always open. He knows the goings and the comings of everything and everyone of you and I. He knows all about us. He's always there. We can be assured of that. And if God is with us, who can be against us. And then we see in the 37th verse of that same chapter, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Where do we go wrong? We try to accomplish it in our own strength. We try to accomplish whatever is going wrong in our lives and change it around in our own strength. We try to tear these walls down sometimes in our own strength because of what we know, because of what we think we can do. Beloved, we need to obey God. We need to listen to God. God has a plan for all of our lives. God has a plan for our lives. We just got to prove Him. We just got to prove His Word. We just got to believe that what He says is true. And then watch Him work. Have you ever sat and watched God work out something in your life? I have. Many times. Marvelous ways. Sometimes too wonderful to even begin to explain how God moves and works in such wonderful ways. Beloved, we can't do it in our strength. We need God. We need God. He can do anything. The Scripture says, with God all things are possible. The songwriter says, only believe. Only believe. Let's look at this city of Jericho. The Bible says it's a strong walled city. People actually lived in the walls. In this same book, there's a story of Rahab the harlot, who hid the spies as they went in to check out Jericho. It has been said by those that have dug around the walls of old Jericho and in archaeology that those walls were wide enough to accommodate 8 chariots abreast of each other at a time. 8 chariots that could ride around those walls of Jericho at one time abreast of each other. The Scripture says they were also mighty men of valor, warfare. They could defend the city. They knew how to fight. They were prepared, so they thought. They thought that they could defend that walled city. No one, but no one could attack them. Beloved, God has other plans. God had other plans. Many times Satan attacks us and he gets us to believe that God can't help us. That God can't do for us what he says he can do. Let's stick to God's plan. Let's stick with God. God's got a plan and God's going to accomplish his plan. Now, humanly speaking, when we think of Joshua and perhaps ourselves, when we would have looked at that wall, have seen this thing standing before us, I wonder how many of us would have gone to God's plan. Many of us have probably reverted to our own plan. Joshua had a couple of options. They could try to climb the walls. They could try to break down the gates. They could try to dig underneath during the night. But that wasn't God's plan. And it wasn't Joshua's either. From God's perspective, faith must be given the priority here. Faith must be given the priority. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. That's why we need to trust Him. That's why we need to follow His directions, not our own. Don't go off on our own tangents with our own ideas that we're going to solve these situations and take these walls down on our own. It'll never work. Perhaps there are many of us here tonight that can attest to this fact. We've tried taking some of these walls down on our own. We've tried doing it in our own strength, and it never works. It doesn't happen. But God has a plan. God had promised him in chapter 1 and verse 9 that he would be with him. And beloved, tonight, God never fails. He never fails. That's a guarantee. Our God never fails. The victory was Joshua's. All he had to do was trust and obey. Beloved, The victory is yours and mine tonight. Whatever situation is happening in our life, whatever situation may arise in our life, we can have victory in Jesus. The victory is ours. God has given it to us. We just got to learn to trust and obey His precious word. If we don't, we'll fail. God had a plan for Joshua. In verses 3 through 14, here in this chapter 6 that I read to you, we see this plan. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, here's the plan to capture the city. We read it in verse 3 and 4. Compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do this for 6 days. And on the 7th day, compass the city 7 times. Boy, what a strange plan. How many of us would have agreed with that plan? How many of us would have agreed with that plan were we there? Probably not one. We would have tried to come up with some other plan, something that we thought was more feasible. We would have probably argued with God. Why, God, what are we going to do marching around these huge walls? You know, we do that now many times in our lives. We question God. Why, God, why? Why are you leading me here? Why is this happening in my life? God has a plan. We need to remember that. God has a plan, and His plan will come through. The Bible says all things are possible, but it requires faith. All things are possible, but it requires faith. Our salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Our blessings come through faith in Jesus Christ. Our prayers are answered through faith in Jesus Christ. But faith requires something else. Faith requires obedience. Obedience to the Word and the way of God. I wondered as I was reading this even today, those men sitting on the top of that wall in Jericho, and they saw all of those people, 600,000 footmen besides women and children. And they saw them as they marched around. And they began to wonder, what's going on here? What is happening here? Where are they going to attack from? What's their plan? What's coming next? You know what happened at the end of the first march? Nothing. They went back to camp and settled down for the night. They did it on the 2nd day. They did it on the 3rd day. The 4th day. The 5th day. The 6th day. And by then, perhaps all of the people from Jericho would gather in the top of those walls and they would look down. And I can only assume the names and the things that they must have been calling those people, the children of Israel. Stupidity, they probably were saying. What are you doing marching around there? You think that's going to bring these walls down? And perhaps they were saying other things to that as well. Beloved, there are many times in our lives when the enemy says, they won't come down. When the enemy attacks us, they throw all sorts of things in our way. We just got to believe God. God said to Joshua, the city is yours. Follow my plan. God said to you and I tonight, victory is yours over whatever may be confronting you in your life. If it's not confronting you now, it will confront you sooner or later. We go through, we face these walls in our lives. And God is saying to you and I, victory is yours. I got a plan for your life. You obey my plan. He might lead us in some strange ways. He might take us down some paths. I often think of the life of Joseph. Joseph was taken down some strange paths in his young life. But God had a plan for him that at the end of it he would become the second most powerful man in all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was willing to go along with the plan that God had for his life. And he suffered many things. But in the ultimate end, he could say to his brethren, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's the way that we've got to look at many things that happen in our lives. It perhaps may have been meant for evil, Satan trying to destroy our very lives, but God has a plan. And I repeat it, a plan for every life. Beloved, all we have to do is follow His plan. Trust God. God will never lead you and I astray. Never. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us alone. Although we go through the dark waters, I'm oftentimes reminded of the story all of us have, and we've heard it many, many times, of footprints in the sand. Many times when we think that we're alone, carrying ourselves, it's not our footprints, but it's God carrying us. Because He's got a plan for our lives, and He wants to bring that plan to an ultimate conclusion. God's day will come. It will come. There's no doubt about it. God's day will come. The seventh day came. The seventh day came. Those people on that wall, they probably gathered for that day to have another good laugh. To see what those stupid people were doing, just marching around. But God said to Joshua, on the seventh day, I want you to march around not once, but I want you to march around seven times. And I want you to have every person that's marching quiet. Not a sound do I want to hear. Can you imagine that? All of those people marching around not to talk? Boy, that would kill so many of us. We couldn't have something to say. But God said, say nothing. March in silence. He says, and on the seventh time that you go around, then you have the people shout. Have the priest blow the trumpet. And you'll see the result. Praise God. Beloved, there's a result. There's a result. There's an end. There's a wonderful plan God has for us. And if we don't follow His directions in our lives, we're never going to find out the end result. Many people, many believers have died and gone out into eternity, not finding out the end result of what God had in store for their lives because they were not willing to obey. They were not willing to go along with the plan. Joshua was. He obeyed the plan. In verses 15 through 20 of this chapter, there we see the overcoming power of faith. The overcoming power of faith. At the precise moment, on that seventh time around, Joshua gave the signal. The priest blew the trumpet, the people shouted, and by the power of God, the walls came tumbling down. The walls came tumbling down. That mighty city, with those huge walls, with all of those people, who never dreamed it possible. The walls came down. Oh, beloved, how encouraging tonight to know that God can bring these walls down in our lives in His own time and in His own way because He has the power. He has the power to do anything. Anything. That's what I love about Him. That's why I love Him so. That's why we ought to love Him so. Because He is powerful. He can do anything in your life and mine. He can change any situation that arises in our lives. And so many times, and we experience over and over, as we're tested, we allow sometimes these walls to come, but we don't obey God. And we're forever climbing them, we're forever trying to get through them, but using the wrong battering rams. God has a plan, but He asks us to trust Him. And that's where the problem comes in my life, in your life, in all of our lives. We don't want to trust Him. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." Wait. That's the hardest thing in the world for people to do, to wait. We're in such a hurry to get things done, to find out what's going wrong with our lives. If we'd only wait, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, beloved, are we willing to wait? Are we willing to let God have His way in our life? Are we willing to let God take us through these areas of our lives? Take down these walls? Bring them down, walls that may seem impossible to us, but possible with God? Or we'd rather just rush headlong, bounce off, headlong, bounce off, and never get anywhere with God spiritually. Never have the joy of the Lord in our lives as He would have us be. We have to trust Him, my friends. Joshua did. You and I can. The victory is ours. The victory is ours. We can overcome, not in our strength alone, but in His strength. He's already accomplished it all. The victory is His. He died. He rose again. He came forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And beloved, He's alive. He's alive. He's real. And you and I tonight can trust Him. He's the same God now as He was then. The same God now as He was then. The walls fell flat. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a mighty God. We sing that chorus. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. We believe that? Do we really believe that? Sometimes it seems to be so difficult for us to believe it. Beloved, He is a mighty God. We just got to learn to obey Him. We just got to learn to believe that He's going to lead us down the path of life. And He's going to lead us safely home someday. Home. Home to heaven to be with Him. He wants us to have the best of life. The test will come, but count it all joy. Follow Him. Oh, I pray this evening that this is our prayer. Put our faith, put our trust in God. Perhaps tonight there is a wall in your life and you don't know what it is, what it's all about. And you're questioning God. Beloved, if you're a believer tonight, have faith in God. Ask God to see you through it. He's got a plan. A plan for your life, a plan for my life. Let's follow it through. May God bless His Word and encourage our hearts tonight. We serve a great and a mighty God. May God bless you is my prayer for His name's sake. Father, we thank You tonight for this passage of Scripture. We thank You that Joshua believed. You had a plan. He was willing to obey, even though it meant walking around the city of Jericho with all of those huge walls, 13 times. Nevertheless, You fulfilled Your plan and Your promise. Oh God, may we as Your children realize that You have a plan for our life. We just got to learn to trust and obey, for there's no other way. Bless our hearts, we pray this evening. Bless these people, dear Lord, that are here, this assembly, Father, its leadership. And, oh, Father, we pray that they may forever keep the light burning see souls won to Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you might be able to sing in closing number 426. We stand as we sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. We'll sing the first and the fourth stanzas, and the service will be over. May God bless each of you this evening for his name's sake. 426.